From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns comes again to chapter 23 and verse 14. Having announced to Israel that he was close to death, Joshua exhorted them with these words, "Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Looking back over a life that had been lived for God, Joshua could see the hand of the Lord leading him. Things that had been difficult and sometimes painful were now seen as part of God's plan, and Joshua could now testify to what would be said of Christ in the New Testament, "He hath done all things well." In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, "Unfailing Promises of an Unfailing God." First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 26. "I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing." Here is sovereign mercy. I will give them the shower in its season. Is it not sovereign, divine mercy? For who can say, "I will give them showers," except God? There is only one voice which can speak to the clouds and bid them beget the rain. Who sendeth down the rain upon the earth? Who scattereth the showers upon the green herb? Do not I, the Lord? So grace is the gift of God, and is not to be created by man. It is also needed grace. What would the ground do without showers? You may break the clods, you may sow your seeds, but what can you do without the rain? As absolutely needful is the divine blessing. In vain you labor, until God the plenteous shower bestows, and sends salvation down. Then it is plenteous grace. I will send them showers. It does not say I will send them drops, but showers. So it is with grace. If God gives a blessing, He usually gives it in such a measure that there is not room enough to receive it. Plenteous grace! Ah, we want plenteous grace to keep us humble, to make us prayerful, to make us holy. Plenteous grace to make us zealous, to preserve us through this life, and at last to land us in heaven. We cannot do without saturating showers of grace. Again, it is seasonable grace. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. What is thy season this morning? Is it the season of drought? Then that is the season for showers. Is it a season of great heaviness and black clouds? Then that is the season for showers. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And here is a varied blessing. I will give thee showers of blessing. The word is in the plural. All kinds of blessings God will send. All God's blessings go together like links in a golden chain. If He gives converting grace, He will also give comforting grace. He will send showers of blessing. Look up today, O parched plant, and open thy leaves and flowers for a heavenly watering.
Thirsty land refreshing, let thy blessing
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Now this morning we return to the book of Joshua, chapter 23. The book of Joshua, chapter 23. You may remember that last Lord's Day we took time to look at the first part of verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. That was a reference to Joshua's death. But we want today to look at the second part of that verse because it is such a tremendous statement. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Looking back on a very long and eventful life, Joshua, the leader of Israel, made this great and glorious confession. Must be understood that this was not mere empty religious rhetoric. I think that Christians may well be open too often to the charge that they know how to use the right words. They know how to say the right thing. They know how to sound very godly, very biblical. They know the language. But the corresponding reality is not always evident in the life and felt in the experience. However, this was not an example of Joshua indulging in mere empty religious rhetoric. This was the testimony of a man on the edge of the grave, with all the honesty that searching experience brings to the heart. Let me make it clear to you. When you come to face death, you have no time for religious play acting. When you come to face death, you are no longer satisfied with the empty shell that may well have satisfied you throughout the years of life when you felt health bursting through your body. No, in the light of death and of eternity, it is reality that grips your heart. That's what was gripping the heart of Joshua, the great man of God. This was no rose-tinted look at the past. Joshua could appeal not only to his own experience, but to that of his hearers. He said, you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Now there were times in the life of Joshua when he didn't see things exactly like that. There were times during his life which he now sums up in these words. They were times of God fulfilling his word. But in the times themselves, Joshua did not see things exactly as he now did. Remember, for example, that trying period in his life, immediately after the loss of the battle at Ai. Joshua chapter 7, verse 6 through 9, we get a glimpse into the awful heartache of the defeated commander. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their head. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us. Would God we had been contempt and dwelt on the other side Jordan. And he goes on to lament, what will I say when Israel turns their backs before the enemies and the inhabitants of the land hear it and environ us round about and cut us off and cut off our name from the earth. What will thou do to thy great name? That was Joshua in the depths of despair. That was Joshua looking out at his circumstances and saying, Lord, why have you built up my hopes just to dash them? Why have you filled my heart with great promises just to break them? Why have you brought us out of Egypt through the wilderness and over Jordan just to let us become carcasses here in the land of Canaan? Why have you told us about victory to let us fall down into defeat? Lord, would it not have been better for us never to have started in this journey than to have started only to end in such tragic and terrible circumstances? Are there not times in all our lives when we feel like that? Maybe you're here this morning and that's exactly where you are. The Lord seems to have forgotten the promises that He made to you. The hope with which you started out is blighted and broken. The heart that once was filled with great anticipation is now dulled with frustration and hurt. And it appears to you that God hath forsaken you, and there's nothing ahead of you but more doom and more gloom and more defeat and more tragedy. And you feel like throwing up your hands and with Jeremiah saying to God, Lord, wilt thou be altogether as a liar unto me? Sooner or later, Christians reach that place. What I want you to know is that Joshua was wrong. Absolutely, utterly, unequivocally wrong in his interpretation of the defeat at Ai. In his agony, he was unable to see God's purposes and promises coming to pass. In the tunnel vision that resulted from his great pain, he was not able to see that God was actually purifying Israel and therefore blessing Israel, and therefore preparing Israel for even greater blessing and greater usefulness. It would have been a disservice not only to God but to Israel for the Lord to have given them victory at Ai under the circumstances when there was such sin and wickedness and backsliding in the camp. It was mercy that wove judgment into Joshua's experience. In his agony, he couldn't see it. But now in the edge of the grave, looking back, he sees everything clearly. How much more at peace we would be in the turmoil of life, in the circumstances that so often try us and trouble us. How much more at peace we would be if we could see through the fog of the immediate, the fog of our situation, and rely on the unchanging Word of our God. We always need something solid under our feet. We need something absolute to be an anchor for our soul. All too often, like Joshua, we react to the moment, throw up our hands as if God had abdicated, when in reality, all that has happened is that we cannot see through the fog. But there's no fog in God's mind, and there's no fog in God's face He sees what he's doing, and what he does is right. When Joshua comes to die, he can look back with absolute certainty. Do you know that's the glory of knowing the Lord? That's the glory of being a Christian. Do you see how it's the very opposite with the world? The world is all brightness now. Of course, it's not brightness at all. If you keep on telling people they're enjoying themselves and it's a wonderful thing they're having, they're fool enough to believe it ultimately. But that's the world. It's like the parable you have, or the miracle you have in John chapter 2. And the miracle actually maybe does become for us a parable, where the Lord Jesus turned the water into wine, and the wine taster, we would call him, the man who was there to make sure the standard was kept up, he was amazed when he tasted the good wine at the end. He says, people give the best wine first, and when those who are there have lost their capacity to discern between what is superlatively good and what's just mediocre, then they slip in the cheaper stuff. But you have kept the good wine to the end. The Lord always does that. The world seems to offer a lot. Now, it is a figment of the imagination, but nonetheless, that's the best that's ever going to be for the ungodly. I want you to realize, if you're not saved today and you live and die without Christ, this is the best that's ever going to be for you for all eternity. There's never going to be anything better. Only worse and worse and worse. Because the end of the ungodly is the judgment and the wrath of a thrice holy God. But for the child of God, though there may be the fogs of circumstances to cloud his thinking or to obscure from his understanding the purposes of God, yet the future is always bright. This is what the book of Proverbs tells us, that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And believer, I want you to understand this morning, whether you can see your way out of your problems at this time or whether you can't, whether you can understand what God is doing in your life at this time or whether you can't, whether the sunlight is streaming across your pathway or the fogs and the mists are blowing in your way, it really makes no ultimate difference. The solution is getting closer to your understanding all the time, because the Lord knows what he's doing, and soon we will too.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.